As we hear today's gospel story, we need to put ourselves back there for a moment and just imagine what Zebedee would be feeling. You know, being a fisherman in those days was very, very hard work. There was not just simply going off and casting your net into the sea and bringing the haul of fish in. Once they were in, then the nets had to be cleaned. Usually they needed to be repaired, and then they needed to be folded neatly, and this took a lot of time and a lot of energy. That's why there were so many people there. Of course, that says nothing about getting in the boat and sailing it out and finding a good fishing spot and throwing the net in and so on. Zebedee would have been a little upset, at least I think he would have been, to have this itinerant preacher come out of nowhere and simply call out to his sons, "Follow me," and they get up and they leave him there, leave him in the boat with the hired hands. Zebedee, running the family business, looks at his sons probably in some wonderment as they go off. Just imagine for a moment what Zebedee would have felt. It's not unusual for parents to have a vision or a plan for their children. For example, if a son seems to be a little athletic and the dad really likes football, then he does everything he can to make sure that the son follows in that vision, make sure that he continues to develop his athleticism, make sure he joins up for the junior football teams and of course graduates up into high school and then of course to junior varsity and hopefully he'll become a star and he'll be taken up by one of the colleges and eventually become a pro. That's the dream. That's the vision that dads often have. Oh, moms have visions too about their daughters and fathers about daughters and mothers about sons. It's just part of life. We see great potential in our children. And so it's sometimes a bit disruptive if one of our children suddenly decides to go off in another direction, to take a different path than the one that the parents had dreamed for their children all along. It was no different in my family. In fact, both my parents became ill at a younger age, and consequently, one of the things that I had desired to do, even from the time I was in high school, was to become a physician. I was good at math, and I was good at the sciences, and so that made sense to everybody, to my parents, to my guidance counselors, to my teachers, and everybody supported me in that dream, in that vision. Even got a small scholarship from one of the local foundations to help fund an education for a possible doctor to come back to the small rural town in which I lived. But imagine about halfway through college, I decided I didn't want to be a doctor anymore. I didn't want to be a physician. And so I changed my course of study. I became a history major and studied the humanities. Casting around, I thought, well, maybe I'll be a lawyer or be an attorney. Oh, that pleased my parents somewhat as well. They thought, well, at least if he's not going to be a doctor, he's going to be a professional, make a nice living, and certainly be able to take care of us as we grow older. That was their dream again. And then suddenly, there was a dark night in my soul. It was just something nagging at me, and I literally went out into the night and took a walk in that beautiful trail that we had on our college campus and went up into the woods. And even though it was dark, there was a full moon, and so I wasn't too worried about taking that little jaunt. It was in the fall, and it was October. It was an unusually warm night that night. It was very breezy as well, so it was pleasant being out there. But I hardly noticed any of that at the time because I was really thinking deeply inside. And what I was trying to decide was I being called into the ministry. Everything seemed to be planned against that. First, I was going to be a doctor, then I was going to be a lawyer. I wasn't in the seminary system in the church as was prescribed in those days. In fact, I wasn't even at a Catholic school. I was at Houghton College, which was an evangelical school sponsored by the Wesleyan Church. And it was there that suddenly I was getting this yearning deep inside to go into the ministry. In one very real way, the still small voice that was in me was the voice of God, the voice of Jesus. And in one way, he was saying to me, follow me. Now, it was a very specific path on which he was calling me to follow. And I finally did answer that. I talked to my advisors at school. I called the diocese at the time to see what would be entailed in going to school to become a priest. And then I had to tell my parents. It was interesting because we were not a super religious family, but we did go to church, and the clergy were always respected in our family. So I thought, well, if I told my parents, they may be disappointed again, but they'd be happy about this. How wrong was I? My dad actually got angry with me. He had had this vision for me, and he actually said to me, why do you want to throw your life away? Needless to say, I was shocked to hear these words from my dad. And in fact, it made me go back and think again to see if I was really doing the right thing. But I was firm in this decision, firm in this conviction. And so I went about the business, even though it seemed my parents, particularly my dad, would be terribly disappointed in me. Well, time went on. I went to seminary, I was ordained, and I was in parish work, and then I was again in specialized ministry, and then in parish work again, and then I was teaching at the seminary. And it was much later on one day that I was with my dad, and he looked at me kind of oddly, and I asked him, what's up? What's going on? And he looked me straight in the eye. He says, you know, David, I'm very proud of you. I'm very proud of you. Needless to say, that moment was deeply emotional for me. And we went on to talk a little bit about it. But he said, you know, I was disappointed when you didn't want to be a doctor. And again, when you didn't want to be an attorney. And then when you said you wanted to be a priest, I just thought, yeah, this is a mistake. But now I see how happy you are. And I see how you're having an impact on people's lives. He didn't quite use those words, but that's what he meant. And he said, I'm really proud of what you're doing. And so in a very real way, even my dad had a kind of conversion experience. He went from resenting the fact that I was being called into the church, into ministry, to a point where he was full of pride and actually quite joyous that I had followed the path that had been revealed to me. In a very real way, what was happening was we were both finding joy in the freedom that the Spirit of God gives us, the freedom to choose who we will be and what we will do. That's what today's gospel lesson really focuses on, this call of Jesus to these his first disciples. Like myself, of course, he's calling them into a particular kind of ministry, but that call is not unique only to those who are called into official church ministry. That call comes to each and every one of us in our baptism. We are called by name to hear the voice of God and to answer God and to follow in the path on which God is calling us to journey. Jesus calls us. But Jesus calls us not to a task, not to something to do, but Jesus calls us to an identity. He says to the people there, Zebedee's sons in particular, "Now you are fishers of fish, but I will make you fishers of men and women." He spoke nothing about how that was to be done. He told nothing about how he was going to train them to do this or that task in ministry. Rather, he said, "No, you're going to change your identity, change how you see yourself. You're no longer going to be simply fishermen who are in the market selling fish to make a living, but you will be out there fishing for men and women for the sake of the kingdom of God." Scripture tells us that they answered Christ's call immediately. Well, sometimes that call doesn't come instantaneously like that. In fact, sometimes we can make decisions too quickly. We call them snap decisions, because it only takes a moment to make a decision. Once we get ready to make it, we make it, and then that's that. But it takes a lifetime to live out the decision we have made, especially when it's a decision to change who we are. And that is what Jesus calls each and every one of us to do. In our baptism, he calls us by name, and he calls us to live a changed, graced life, a life full of the love of God, a life that knows no end. He calls us to eternal life. So that decision that we make isn't a snap decision. Elsewhere in the scriptures, Jesus tells us to count the cost. But once we make that decision and we take on this identity as disciples of Jesus, as we are washed clean and made children of God, transformed by Jesus, and we take on this new identity, then we spend our entire life living it out, step by step, act by act, choice by choice, as we grow ever deeply more in love with God. So that's what you should hear today. Not simply an historical recounting of how the first disciples came to be with Jesus, but how Jesus is calling each and every one of us, how Jesus is calling you to follow. Once you hear that voice, what will you decide? How will you live?